going to continue in that chapter of Matthew. Here then, the parable of the sower, starting at verse 19. Jesus gives an interpretation of the parable. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord. In case you're wondering if I'm going to speak on architecture, I'm not. I'm going to speak on agriculture. So it's the agriculture of ministry, in case you're wondering. And also, this is the weird moment as a guest preacher when you realize that what you've planned to say doesn't actually match what everybody else is doing. So thank you for the children's message. It was perfect, exactly right. And whatever I'm about to say, just go with me for a little bit. And I want to teach you a song. Make sure I hit the right key here. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. Some on the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you got little bitty seeds. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. Okay? Easy, right? All right, so repeat after me. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. Oh, you guys already know this. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered on the ground. Some on the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you got little bitty seeds. The word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered all around. Good. Now, I want that stuck in your head this week because it has been stuck in mine every day this week. I learned that song in grade school like 45 years ago. I spent the whole last week in a conference with pastors and deacons from all over the country, assistants to the bishop. We sang a lot of great hymns, some hymns I had no idea what we were doing. But with all of those other songs, every single morning I had the little bitty seed song in my head. It just will not go away. The reason I like this song, though, is because it reminds us, this is where I'm going to diverge a little bit from the kids' time. It reminds me that this parable is actually not so much about the soil as it is about the seeds and the sower. Now, it's okay if you've been sitting there thinking, gosh, what kind of soil am I? Please let me be good soil. In fact, we're going to sing a song after the sermon about good soil. Nothing wrong with that. I think some good self-reflection is important. But I want us to think about what this parable tells us about God and what this parable tells us about ministry and the kingdom of God and what the seeds of the kingdom are meant to do, to be, what our role is. We tend to make this parable a lot of times about the soil because it's a great image. It really is. I love talking about images of rocky. I think about the times in my life when I've been like that rocky soil, very shallow. Nothing will take root. I think about when I've been a little thorny. I'm still a little thorny sometimes. And the desire to be that rich soil where God's love and mercy can grow and expand from me into my neighbors and change the world that way. We have a tendency to make ministry about ourselves, though, and ministry is really about God. So my next question is, how many of you have been connected to agriculture in some way? Okay, Excellent, good. I grew up on a farm. Much to my father's dismay, I did not get the farming gene. So I know some things about farming, not a lot. Have any of you done broadcasting of seed to plant? Yeah, some of you have. Broadcasting is a very old tradition, millennia. That's how seed has been planted, throwing it out, right? Now we have broadcasting equipment that we can pull behind a tractor. It will broadcast the seed for us. There's also planting drills that will you pull behind the tractor that will drill into the ground so the seed goes deep down into the ground and can root really well. This story about a sower who's casting seed is not abnormal, really. What is abnormal is how completely irresponsible he seems to be. He's just throwing it everywhere, everywhere. I don't know a lot about farming, again, much to my father's dismay, but what I do know is that seed is expensive. Good quality seed is really important. If you don't have good quality seed, you have a bad yield, your profit margin goes down, it's hard to make a living as a farmer. You need good seed. So you don't want to be wasting it by throwing it onto ground that has not been prepared. You also need to prepare the ground, right? You plow it, you get the dirt clods out of it, you get the weeds out, you maybe enrich the soil with something to help the seeds find the nutrients they need so they can sprout and grow. And you have to protect your fields from predators. So scarecrows, did you know that came from agriculture, right? Scarecrows to keep the predators out of the fields. Some farmers, ranchers have animals that patrol their land so that they can keep the predators out when especially like alfalfa when it comes up from the ground and they've got deer and elk that come and try to eat their profits. They have to keep them scared away. So what we find in this story of the parable, or this parable of the sower, is that he's wasting seed, he's not preparing the ground appropriately, and he's letting the birds just come in and take whatever they want. This is not a very smart farmer, to be honest. I gotta wonder if he knows what he's doing. At best, 25% of the seed that he's throwing out there is gonna bring a harvest. 25%, that means he's losing 75% of the work that he's doing. 75% of his resources, he's just throwing away. Is he a fool? Is he an optimist? Or maybe this farmer knows something that we don't. In this parable, Jesus gives his followers a picture of how God works in the world, what God's priorities are, and who gets invited into God's beloved community. So if you have this parable in your mind, think about, what does it tell you about God? Just yell it out. What does this parable tell you about God? Be brave, be strong, be bold. God's in charge of the plants, okay? What else? God has a lot of resources, indeed. What else? Good intentions, okay, beautiful. I'm sorry? Nope. What does it tell us about God? For me, it tells me that God is extraordinarily gracious, extraordinarily giving and generous. God does not worry that some of the seed isn't going to take root. God just keeps throwing it out there. God just says, I am giving my love, my word, my kingdom to everybody. And there's plenty to go around. We learn that God's priority is generosity. We learn that God does not distinguish between those who are ready to hear the word and those who are not. This is good news for us because If we happen to be the soil that's full of rocks or the thorns, we're not excluded from the reach of God's kingdom. If we have neighbors who we happen to think are thorny and rocky, they are not excluded from God's kingdom either. This is actually amazing news, that we are never beyond God's reach. But the thing about parables is, even when they're about God, there's something that we can learn about us as well. So we can think about who we are as soil, but also you might recall Jesus' instructions from Matthew chapter 10. We heard that in June. I'm imagining you did if you're following the lectionary. In June, we heard Jesus send the disciples out in pairs, out to the surrounding villages, and he said, go out and proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then at the end of Matthew, after the resurrection, before Jesus returns to the Father, he gives the Great Commission. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize, proclaim God's kingdom. Teach them what I have taught you. Jesus has entrusted the sowing of the seeds to all of us. We're called to broadcast the kingdom extravagantly. Did you know that's another agricultural word, broadcast? It started out as an agricultural word having to do with seeds. And then media took over. Now we broadcast TV and everything else. But go out and broadcast the kingdom. Be less concerned about the returns on our investment and more concerned that everybody gets to hear it. Be less concerned about the returns on your investment and more concerned that everybody is getting to hear it. Now, it's time for a little bit of a reality check. It is hard to be the church today. I don't know if you've noticed. Things are a little challenging in the American church. Churches that are on decline. There are churches that are on the brink of closing. Churches that have already closed, churches that are not on the brink of closing, but are who trying to figure out how come their budget never seems to grow even as new people are coming in. Churches who are wondering how to be the church in a neighborhood when we're surrounded by people who don't necessarily want to talk about Jesus or don't want to talk about anything related to the church. Churches wonder why pastors cost so much. Pastors wonder why churches seemingly are not wanting to pay them a living wage. I'm not saying that's happening here. I'm just saying that's some of the conversation I get to be part of on a regular basis. It can be discouraging to be the church, I must say. I just spent, as I said last week, with a bunch of pastors and deacons from all over the country, specifically ELCA, but I also have conversations with our communion partners, with the Methodists and the Episcopals and Presbyterians, the UCC, and I will tell you, it's this way everywhere in the American church. This is not unique to us as the ELCA or to us here in California. The worries and the fears are the same everywhere. We're all busy asking the same questions. And I'm going to admit that I have a feeling you all might be a little bit more anxious because right now you're in this liminal time between called pastors. Sometimes that can cause a bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear, a little bit of worry. Pastor Ben is gone. We're not quite sure who's coming next. But the work of the kingdom continues. It doesn't stop. In fact, this is a very rich time for you to do the work of the kingdom, actually. I find this time between pastors to be the time when churches figure out who they are. Because the pastor isn't telling them who they are. They have to figure out who they are. And sometimes they're surprised at who they are. And often they're kind of excited about it. There's lots of good things going on here at Bethel. Of that I'm confident. As I read this parable from Jesus, I am less worried about being part of the church in the 21st century. Because this parable tells me that despite significant obstacles, God will continue to bring about God's kingdom. The sower knows that some of the seed is not going to produce, but he keeps on sowing. He keeps on going out there and casting that seed. Earlier, I hinted that maybe the farmer knows something that we do not. I think the farmer understands how kingdom seeds grow. Jesus says that only 25% of the seeds sown are going to produce, but that 25% is going to produce maybe 100-fold. I think about the parable of the mustard seed and how the kingdom grows. Little bits here and little bits here, and it explodes into giant bushes. These are really good seeds. The sower has some really good seeds. And we've been given those really good seeds. Our focus must always be, first and foremost, the planting of seeds for the kingdom. That means our personal agendas and desires always have to take a back seat. And when I say personal agendas and desires, I'm just going to spell it out for you because I don't like to speak in vagaries. I mean things like the desire to hold on to a building at all costs. I mean the desire to keep a ministry going for the wrong reasons, whether it's personal gratification, fear of failure, personal ego and investment and self-interest, or fear of change. Those are not good reasons to keep a ministry going. I mean the focus on petty disagreements that distract us from God's call. I mean the ridiculous things that divide us when being united in mission is what we must be doing now. I mean the desire to hear only the parts of God's word that makes us feel good, rather than the parts that call us to account for our sin, that ask us to examine how we treat one another, that ask us to admit our need for God's grace. I'm not pointing individual fingers of any of those things to you. You know what you need to do. Those are just some of the things that I face in my conversations with congregations. We are called to a time to put the word, the kingdom of God, first, above everything else. The seed that we are called to broadcast is the word of God, proclaiming the kingdom of love. That is a word that is more important than our personal agendas. It is bigger than our ability to understand. It is stronger than our fiercest determination, and it is more expansive than our imaginations. This word is powerful. It is a spoken word that says, you are loved. That says, you are welcomed. That says you are forgiven. That says you are not alone. It is the word of action that demonstrates truth to power, that stands up for those who are being oppressed, that fights for freedom, that offers a hand to help those in need. And it is the word made flesh that rose from the clutches of death. It is not a weak word. It is not a feeble seed that we have been given. The word that continues to bring life and hope where once there may have only been brokenness and despair. It is God's gift that we are blessed to share with the world. Rocks, thorns, and all. May we be faithful in our planting of God's kingdom. Amen.